Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting you ready for our Big Brother Canada live show here on a Friday night on Rob Has a Podcast. Today we're going to talk with Neha, one of the first five people that was eliminated from Big Brother Canada, had a shot to get back into the house, went into the sequester house with Cindy, and of course is going to have a lot of stories about that whole experience. But before we get to today's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at TrueCar. Because TrueCar is making it easier for you to get a great price on a new car. Because when you're making a big purchase like that new car, don't you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? So to understand the power of transparency, you need to check out TrueCar and TrueCar's mobile app. With TrueCar, not only can you configure the car the way you want and how you want it, but also you can see what others are paying for the same car that you're looking for down to the zip codes. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, lock in the guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the TrueCar app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who has been offered $10,000 to stop podcasting. Rob Cicerino, hello everybody, and welcome to our live Big Brother Canada coverage here on such a crazy week of Big Brother Canada 3. Oh my Godfrey. Oh my goodness. What a wild week. And sad to see good friend of the podcast, Jordan, go home in one of the more epic blindsides in Big Brother history. But we have a great show to talk about everything that went down. We're here to do work. We're going to do work here with one of the five people who was vying to get back into the house. But here she is back with us. And we're sad to see her not in the house, but we're happy to have her here. Here is Neha the Slayer.
Hello, Canada. Hello, everyone who's watching.
Wake up, Canada. Yes, Neha. It's the Netta of Big Brother Canada 3.
Yes.
Yes. All right, Neha, how are you doing?
I'm okay. It's all good.
Yes. Okay.
I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was in the damn house, but you know, whatever.
Okay, all things considered, well, we're happy to have you here.
Thank
okay.
You.
Also, we have joining us to talk about the live feeds. Back with us again is our good friend Emily Stobbs. Emily, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Again, how could you look? Sad to see Jordan go, but you know, hard to be bad after such a exciting week of Big Brother. And then joining us here for the first time, somebody who wrote me a very convincing letter. I was like a person who was going to vote this week. And I'm like, I'm voting to evict Godfrey. And then he made like the Godfrey jury or veto speech of letters. Zach Vossler said, let me get in the mix here. So here is Zach, a brand new live feed reporter. One extra one. It's a Twistos twist. Zach, how are you?
Good. How are you? I like to consider myself, I'm like the Allison White of the live feed correspondent.
Yes, he was.
I've been living in a room with a bald kid and a drag queen, and now I'm here.
All right. So here's Zach. Zach, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I live in Philadelphia, which is the birthplace of America. I'm a lawyer, and I'm ready to go. I love Canada.
Neha, what do you think of this guy so far?
He's all right. He's okay. I think he might have some good questions for me.
He's all right. He's all right. He's okay. All right. So, of course, we're live here with Neha on robinswebsite.com. We've got the chat room open on robinswebsite.com. We're also taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, on our YouTube channel at robinswebsite.com/YouTube. And, of course, you can subscribe to all of our podcasts at robinswebsite.com/iTunes. All right. Neha, let's get into this. And what a week. What a turn of events. For you, who was in that sequester house or whatever you want to call it. What did you call that house?
Yeah, sequester house.
Sequester house. You're there with Cindy. And it seems like from the little bit we saw that the narrative in that house is, you know, chop, shop, chop, shop. You got to take these guys out. Were you surprised to see Cindy go back into the house and sort of have to end up teaming up with the Brunos and Bobbies and Godfreys of the world to ultimately form this alliance, which took out JP as a proxy shot to Zach.
Yeah, not exactly, because we knew, okay, there's so much information that we'll go over, and a lot of it has been exposed on the feeds now, which is really, really good. So in terms of what happened, yeah, so we, in the sequestration house, we found out about the chop shop. We also, so we could talk about everything then, because I had a little thing going with Sarah, B, Johnny, that sort of thing. Cindy was also a friend of mine in the house. And we were, Sarah and I were aligned with Johnny and Zach from day two. I'm not sure if you guys got that, but we had a little secret alliance going on where in which Sarah and I had said to JP and Zach, hey, whoever you're close with, you protect us from them. And whoever we're close with, we'll protect you from them. Ultimately, that didn't work out because JP and Zach did not keep me during my instant eviction. So, you know, I understand that they couldn't show their whole cards. But after Greg came into the sequester house, we got a little more information about the chop shop. So a little more of the puzzle came together as to why that didn't go down and why there was no real allegiance with JP and Zach. JP, so with him leaving, I obviously, like, as a super fan, as any type of fan, you know, you do not put yourself on the block. However, Zach has a huge, 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 there's a huge reason why JP went, and it's all, and Zach is the reason as well. In terms of Cindy going into the house and then aligning with Bruno and Bobby, I was surprised about Bobby, but now that I know that Bruno and Bobby are together, it kind of makes sense. But we had a crazy, the planning that was going on in the sequester house, especially between Cindy and I, because we kind of felt that if you don't make it, or, you know, hopefully the other one makes it, then we can really turn it up in the house. So there's a lot of planning that went into whatever Cindy's about to do, or what Cindy did and what Cindy can do going forward. Like, there's so much that this girl has planned just because of all of that sequester house planning that we did. Now, in terms of her going after JP, Cindy, in when you saw her evicting him, or her little speech that they showed on the sideshow. Do you watch the sideshow?
I didn't get to see it this week. I heard about it. I'm sure Emily's seen it.
Right. So when Cindy did her goodbye speech, she was crying, and she legitimately was very upset because before, I kind of don't, because I love JP. And I think JP is a solid, solid guy. I think that he was somewhat on my side. If I compared now Zach and JP, like, I know he's probably a little better than Zach, but Cindy going into the house, her plan was, hey, I'm going to stick to my showman. And I said, no, you're not, Cindy. You have to cut JP, like, in a way where, because that will help take Zach down and that will weaken Zach. We didn't know that. It was such a mystery to us. And I am still, like, so shocked at the fact that Zach would have been the HOH and JP was on the block. So she obviously went into something not expecting JP to be on the block, but with the intention of getting rid of JP. So it's kind of a little sweeter because she was able to just take him out. Her plan was kind of like, oh, I'm going to go in, I'll showman him a little more, use him a little further. But I was like, Cindy, you can't really do that because we know that Zach is playing all sides of the house. Like, literally, this guy has an alliance with every single person. So if you don't go with JP, that can kind of help weaken Zach, and you can go straight ahead and target Zach by going to Sarah and telling Sarah everything and then coming up with a plan. Where Bruno comes into this is that Cindy already had a little bit of a thing with Bruno prior to leaving. So Cindy and Bruno had a relationship, and I knew that going back into the house, Cindy would go to Bruno. She had already said that she would go to Bruno because they had something. Now, during the sideshow that, and Rob, you probably saw this one, where the evicted house guests came and we talked to Orissa and Gary and Peter.
Yes.
We were sitting there. There was an instance where we were asked by Orissa, who would you go after if you went back into the house? Now, Greg very adamantly said, I'm going after Zach. When he said that, there was a crowd of people, and there was, like, a row full of Team Bruno. Like, must have been, it was his family, actually. Now I know it was his family because his sister tweeted me. And they went wild. And for all of us, this was, like, shocking. And I kind of called them out. I'm like, well, that's interesting that Team Bruno is, like, going wild over us taking out Zach when Zach is in an alliance with Bruno. So that can only tell me that Zach is screwing over Bruno behind Bruno's back. And that's the only reason why Team Bruno is happy that we would want to go after Zach. So that little piece of information, I said to Cindy, I'm like, if you go back in, you make sure when the time is right and you approach Bruno, you tell Bruno. Because if they're in the chop shop together, if Bruno also, you know, if you're exposing the chop shop and Bruno, then you can use Bruno and kind of tell him, like, listen, like, this guy, Zach, is not really with you. Today, I think Cindy told Bruno that on the feeds. I haven't really been keeping up exactly all day, so I don't know if Bruno really took that information in or what. But I thought that was a key piece of information. So I knew that Cindy was going to go to Bruno and kind of work with him. Bobby, we didn't know that Bruno and Bobby were so close. So whatever, he's just with him. So that's why Bobby's there, I guess.
Okay. Naya, they let you talk in the sequester house, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. You're so fired up here that we have a whole hour, Neha. We didn't have to get to everything in the first 2 minutes.
Okay, sorry. Talk real fast.
Okay, no, that is great. But I can understand why all these guys were threatened by you in the house. I want to talk about what happened to you because I did think it was pretty unfair, ultimately, how you went out of the house with the instant eviction happening so quickly. Go up there and really only having a couple days of knowing anybody. What day was it when they did the instant eviction?
15.
Day 15. Can you just talk about your process? Because you were so hardcore and you still are so hardcore about the game and about what you were going to do. What was that like to go through the instant eviction?
Oh man, as a super fan going into the game, your worst nightmare would be to be the first person evicted. No. After going through the instant eviction, that is the worst possible thing one can go through, I think. Just because in the instant eviction, you do not have the opportunity to play for veto and you do not have the opportunity to campaign. And being a strong player, that's the best, that's the easiest route one the other house guests could take me out, right? Like not giving me that opportunity. Because I feel that if it was a veto, I could probably do pretty well in it, maybe take myself off and campaigning for sure, because I know I had a strong social game. And just the night before, I don't know if you watched the feed draw, but I did some magic and, given that instant eviction, the way he made his nominations, Kevin made his nominations the night, so right when he won the HOH, he was taken in to make the nominations. And he couldn't tell anyone that he had to do that. But then that later that night, we created like this 7-person alliance that I was heading, and it was magic and it would have changed this game. And as I was telling Kevin, like, this is what's going on, Kevin. This is why this would be so beneficial to do this alliance. I could see that he had light bulbs went off in his head and everything that I was saying to him made sense. I was explaining to Kevin that night that Kevin was a target. When Bobby won HOH week 2, Kevin was the target, and Kevin didn't understand that, and Kevin had no idea. Kevin just thought he was a pawn, but the reality was is he was a target. Bobby kind of said, oh, I'm going to, play a game with no blood on my hands. I'm going to pick the first two people I dropped in the wall-to-wall HOH comp, which were Brittany 1, Kevin 2. And I said to Kevin, I'm like, Kevin, do you look like a pawn? Like, is Kevin really the person that is a pawn in a game like this? And then he realized that, and which is the truth, that Kevin would have been the target. So everything started coming together. I was already aligned with Sarah, B, and Johnny. And then Sarah and I had an alliance with JP and Zach. So we brought JP and Zach in. And then we added Kevin. And we're like, this is the way to go. He seemed he seemed okay with it. But again, he couldn't tell us that he'd already made his noms. So it just the timing of that damn instant eviction, I think it really messed me up, obviously. Because even given if the nominations, during the ceremony, like the ceremony was the next day. So like a normal instant eviction, how it happens is they make the nominations right then and there. But this guy had already made the nominations the night before, like prior to that conversation. So I truly feel that if he had made the nominations as they regularly do, like, when they're telling us it's an instant eviction, it would have been different. And then what I watched now just yesterday, I was able to watch all the episodes. And so I saw that Kevin realized that shit, like, taking her out was the wrong move. And he realized that it was just, the timing was off and it just went very wrong. The feelings that I have about the instant eviction, obviously it sucks. It's horrible, but that's Big Brother, right? Like and Big Brother Canada throws these kind of twists out there. And I was just on the, the raw end of it.
Okay. Now you go into the sequester house, you have a shot to get back into the game. Did you have any issue with the challenge that ultimately you end up having to compete in to get back into the game?
So, I didn't watch the challenge because I just haven't watched that episode yet. I really just can't watch it yet. But people told me, and like my family told me how it was shown and whatnot. And I did really well in that comp. I think I was up there for like an hour and a half. Cindy was also up there for an hour and a half. I didn't think I could do that, but like I was solid. There was many, many times where Cindy was struggling, and there's many times where I thought that she was going to fall. It was very, very, very close. So that's another reason why this sucks so bad, because I was like, literally, I feel like I was seconds away from being back in that house.
And so do you root for Cindy now to go all the way because she's the person that came back in, or do you have a different rooting interest?
Cindy is one of my people. Cindy already, before she was evicted, her and I were close in the suppressor house. We got very close as well. Two other people that I am very close with in the house are Sarah and Brittany. My number one choice is Sarah, no matter what. And Cindy's right up there with Brittany, just because Sarah and I were aligned from day one and we had a very solid connection. And I really feel that she does have potential. And with all this information that Cindy's giving her, they could really use it. I don't know what's going down with that now. I don't really think it's going in the way that I would have hoped, or if I were to go in how I would have played it. And I know Cindy tried to play it in a certain way. I mean, it kind of backfired because she's on the block now. But I'm definitely rooting for Cindy. And I truly hope that in a perfect world, I hope that she wins the veto today and Sarah is not the replacement nominee.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to talk about stuff from the live feeds in just a little bit. We're just talking about the TV show stuff right now, but let's talk about the Wednesday night, TV show. And again, we had this really great Big Brother moment, where Godfrey ends up staying in the house, and Godfrey has really emerged as a fan favorite now from so many people. And you could hear when Bobby votes to evict JP that the crowd really explodes because, you know, people have really been excited about this whole Godfrey thing after the speech. It's so funny that nobody cared about Godfrey until 3 days ago. And now Godfrey is huge. It's like electrifying, probably the most popular house guest in the house with the audience. What's your feeling on Godfrey? Do you like Godfrey? Is Godfrey a good guy, or is there a lot of hype about him right now?
You know what? The way he performed, he's a good, like, he's doing well. In the house, me and Godfrey, like, we were okay. Like, there was nothing, like, he was just, like, I think everyone could say in the first couple weeks, Godfrey never really, you know, he just slept a lot. He really did nothing. He didn't talk much, that sort of thing. My last day, I obviously didn't like Godfrey because he was targeting me in my HOH comp that I lost. He was after me. I didn't really understand. I knew that he would be just because he was aligned with Greg and Greg was after me. So it made sense for Godfrey to do that. Or I don't even know if they were aligned, but they were close, obviously. So I was kind of like, you know, forget Godfrey. Like he was on my radar too at that point. But there was no like bad blood between us. When I was evicted, he said a really nice thing. It didn't air, but he's like, you know, you have to go because you're the best player in here. And I think that's what a lot of the house guests thought. So it was a good time for them to get rid of me. But now seeing what he's done, like, I love the underdog, and I felt that in the house, I was the underdog. And that's probably why a lot of people, you know, coming out of the house, I realized I have a lot of fans and a lot of people love me. And now Godfrey is one of the underdogs. He's with Sarah and Cindy, and like, he's in that category of the underdog. And I think that's why people love him, and he's performing. Like, that was epic. Like, him staying in this house, the way he came with Cindy and how they turned it around because Cindy had this plan, like, it's awesome. And I can see why people like him now, and he's shining through. And you know what? Looking at this guy, he's one person. I pick him to win this game over a lot of people in that house. Big time. Big time.
Wow. Let me just check in with the live feed reporters real quick. I just want to know real quick from each of you guys about the Godfrey turnaround. Zach, what has been your take on Godfrey following him this season? Are you surprised to see him become such a big fan favorite here?
A little bit, but I mean, I think it's just because of what Neha said. You know, you kind of watch him just sleeping. And on the sideshow last night, they actually showed like kind of like a little clip show of Godfrey sleeping and of all the times Big Brother was telling him to wake up and all the house guests being like, wake up, Godfrey, nap time's over. But I think that once he finally had his feet to the fire, I think that, you know, he really kicked it into game mode, and he realized that, like, he was up there against the HOH's best friend, and if he doesn't really, you know, work his butt off to save himself, then, you know, he's going to go home. And, you know, he really did. And now look at where he is.
Emily, I always say that Big Brother contestants should go into the house and go to sleep for the first month. That's what I say is the Rob Cicerino strategy on Big Brother. Is it possible that it was actually Godfrey that's the biggest RHAP listener and not Jordan?
Well, maybe, because he did sleep a lot. And like Zach said, they did show a bunch of clips of him sleeping throughout the day, getting told by Big Brother to wake up, it's time to play the game. As for if I'm surprised he's a fan favorite, he's always been very likable, at least on the live feeds. Like, I've listened to him tell stories about his life when he was in Africa growing up, and it's very interesting, and people seem to be interested in his life. So I am not totally surprised, but I was surprised by that outburst because I just did not see it coming, but it was great TV. So,
yeah. Neha, do you think that, again, this attack against JP, or the move to take out JP, was such a shot across the bow for Zach? And it's unfortunate that JP had to be the one to, you know, absorb the blow, where it feels like there's so many people that were gunning for Zach. Do you think that Zach will be able to rebound from this, or do you think that he will soon be out the door?
You know what? It's hard to say. Zach, like, when I left the house, I was like, this guy's in the best position. He's aligned with everyone. And now with the fact that Pilar won the HOH and she is best friends with Ashley, Zach is in a showman with Ashley. Zach's not on the block. Cindy wasn't able to, you know, use the information that he had about the chop shop to get to Cindy because, or to get to Pilar, because Pilar and Kevin are together, and Kevin is, seems to be like, he really, really just wants to stick with Zach. So it can go, it literally can go both ways. It's just depending on who gets HOH and when. The people that will take out Zach are for sure 100% gunning against Zach are Cindy, Sarah, B, and Godfrey. I hope Bruno is, I think Bruno's kind of in the middle. Like, I think Bruno knows he has to go after Zach, but right now Bruno is playing with Zach. But Bruno's also kind of playing with the other side. Bruno's kind of the one in the middle now. But so it's all dependent on who gets HOH. If Zach's side keeps getting HOH, Zach will never go home. And Zach's side is Ashley, Pilar, Kevin, and him. And then I think Bobby is in there with him and kind of Bruno. But if the other four get HOH, and I think, am I forgetting anyone in the house? I don't think I am. But then, you know, it can go both ways. And I think, but I do think that if Zach continues to play the way he's playing and make it to the end, then maybe he deserves to win because he has been playing like a serious game. Like it's crazy. He's built an alliance with every single person in the house. And it was only figured out. Like, for example, Sarah and I knew on day one that JP and Zach were together. And that's how we approached them, a twosome to a twosome. And when we approached them, we said, we know that Zach was in with a bunch of guys. We didn't realize that Ashley and Willow were in the chop shop. We realized that there was a bunch of guys there. They had some kind of alliance. And so we knew that he was good on that side. And that's why we went to him and we're like, okay, so you're good with all these people that we're not good with. Protect us. So we had already known that he was aligned with everyone. We didn't realize the extent of the chop shop. So when it came out in Sequester, it kind of irked some of us because it was kind of like, shit, like he's really, really, really playing every single person in the house. And I think he's playing that too safe of a game. Like he's trying to play too safe. And that's why he didn't take his best friend off the block. And that's why I say that I think JP was a victim of Zach's game. JP, yes, he put himself on the block, but Zach made the most horrible move. Who does that to put your best friend on the block? Even if JP, okay, so for example, yeah, JP said, okay, put me on the block. Okay, so you do it. But why are you not using the veto on him? You're showing so many things by not using the veto on him. You're showing you are untrustworthy. Like 100% you're showing it. So, and people are seeing this. Like, for example, I think loyalty is very, very important. If you can find someone that's very loyal to you, and it's hard to find in this game, but that shows a lot. And like, for example, Sarah and Johnny are the only two people that voted to keep me. And that shows a lot when that put them in harm's way, but they still did that. So that shows that they are people that I could have went back to for sure and they would have had me. But Zach has shown now the whole house that he doesn't give a shit about his own best friend. And ultimately, he was so confident that, oh, it's going to go my way. It's going to go my way. That he thought JP could never go home because he's on this pedestal. exact on this pedestal because everyone has put him on this pedestal because he's aligned with everyone and everyone loves him. So he really, really felt that he had the numbers to keep JP. But at the same time, who takes that risk? I would never, ever, ever in this game take the risk of putting someone who's my closest ally on the block and keeping them there, because that's a number for you. And he's taking that risk, and ultimately that's what happened. So I think JP took a hit because of Zach's stupidity.
Okay.
I don't disagree.
I don't disagree. Could you just talk about what it was like to live in the sequester house with the Jinja Ninja, #604Proppa?
Okay, so much different. Much, much different than living in the house. Completely different. For me, I was still playing the game in the sequester house. He wasn't really still playing the game, but he kind of was, because he gave us every single piece of information that he had, because I think he had so much fire behind him, because he wanted to chop the chop shop, because they kind of chopped him at the end, you know what I mean? Like, they could have picked Bobby, or they could have picked him over Bobby, but they didn't. And they kind of, like, just, like, he told us that when he was on the block, everyone just kind of just didn't even have anything to do with him. He felt, he was very upset about that. But yeah, he was a very different person than he was in the house. He was very aggressive in the house. He was not that way with me, at least, in the sequester house. So my opinions did change of him living with him in sequester to an extent.
Okay. It was Jinja Ninja Light.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. This week we had a revelation that we didn't expect to be coming, was that Big Brother started the jury this week, which is very odd and very early for any Big Brother season in the US or Canada. So with only four people out of the house, out of a cast of what, 16 to start?
Yeah.
What is going on here? And does it bother you that they start the jury so early?
Yeah, I was expecting at least like two or four more people to come out. So I'm like, a 10 person or whatever, like the jury is a massive jury. Is it? It's literally a 10 person jury. It's crazy. There has to be some kind of twist involved.
Or do you think that Big Brother could adopt a Survivor style final three? Do you think that that could be what we see, especially coming on the heels of a season where everybody's like, oh, it would have been so great to see John versus Netta. And then you ended up with an anticlimactic finale where after John screws over Netta, then we had a finale of John versus Sabrina. And we all wanted to see John versus Netta because that would have been good TV.
Does everybody want good TV?
Yes. Yes, we do. We don't want to see Sabrina in the final two. And yeah. So do you think that Big Brother this season will adopt a Survivor style final three with a jury of nine?
I think that that's a very high possibility. Knowing what Big Brother has been doing this whole season, it's twist, 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 twist. They're changing it up and they're making it big this year. And that could be a very likely thing. They could, again, I would think that could be it just because it's such a large number. Or the other possibility is the 11th jury member is Canada, right? It has to be an even or an odd number. But the three, the Survivor style is, I think, what the route they're going to go. It has to be something totally different, I think.
Especially considering Emmett comes in third in Big Brother Canada 1, and Netta comes in Canada in third in Big Brother Canada 2, and you have arguably what many people feel is the best player from each season ends up in that third place spot. That can happen sometimes, Neha. The best player sometimes that could finish in third place. That happens sometimes on these shows.
Sometimes the best player also leaves the house third.
That's also at that or fourth. Yeah, that can happen also. So that's a thing. So I suspect that's where ultimately this is going to go. And we'll see if Canada gets a vote also. And hey, if it ends up somehow being a tie, I'm sure that there'll be some sort of twistos twist to be able to figure out how to break that.
I could come in and make the tiebreaker vote.
Yes, you should. You should. All right. I want to open this up to questions from
Rob. 1 second.
Yes.
Before you move on from the jury thing, can we talk about what happened on the sideshow last night?
Okay, sure. Let's talk about the sideshow from last night. Neha, did you see this?
Yes.
Okay. So just to set this up, so Jordan was on the sideshow, and while I didn't see it, I heard about this quite a bit on social media, where Peter Brown was particularly rough on Jordan. Zach, could you give us the play-by-play?
Oh, of what Peter said, I mean, I think the parting shot was where he was talking about Jordan falling asleep at the veto competition. And he's like, I hope you think about that because you're going to be thinking about a lot when you're not sleeping in the jury house. I mean, Jordan was being a really good sport about it. He said, you know, one of his dreams was to get roasted by Peter after being evicted on the sideshow. But yeah, I mean, it was he looked a little upset. He was trying to be a good sport about it, but you could kind of tell he was feeling it.
Yeah, I was on social media last night. A lot of people were writing to me about that and saying, don't you think that Peter Brown is pushing it too far? I know that Jordan's dad was on Twitter last night. I don't think that he was particularly fond of Peter's antics. But Neha, how was your experience with Peter?
Well, so I never got my own sideshow.
Oh my God. Neha, you got such a raw deal.
I literally got robbed of every possible thing you could get.
That's why you have so much to say, because then nobody ever lets you talk.
Yes, exactly. I did have a lot. I didn't get much out of Peter in terms of when we did talk, like about me. He didn't roast me that much. Knowing Jordan and knowing the way he loves this game, I know he is for 1,000, and obviously, Rob, you know this too. This guy's probably dying inside about what happened, but he put a brave face on because, like, what else? Like, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to come out and be crying? Like, he had to put that face on, and he did that, and he took it like a champ. And I, like, for sure, like, he's probably. When I went to sequester, I was dying. And Peter was right. It is sleepless nights, and now Jordan has to sit for 5 weeks with these sleepless nights and thinking about what he did. And he knows that he, like being the biggest super fan, now he will be known as the person who made the biggest mistake in Big Brother history. Like, you're going on to being like a Marcellus of the U.S. version of Big Brother. You know what I mean? And he's probably thinking about those things. But and so just by personally, like, knowing Jordan in the house, I know that he put on a brave face.
I know he put on a brave face.
I respect that.
And there's just a couple of things about this, because I have, strong feelings about a lot of this stuff. Number one, I have a feeling that while I'm sure Jordan is very upset that the guy, you know, lives Big Brother, he knows what, you know, Peter is there to do on the sideshow. So where... I don't think he takes it personally. And I think
that's Peter's job.
Yeah, that's, look, and if the reason why Peter is on the sideshow is to say things that nobody else will say to these contestants, you know, he's there, he's the Simon of Big Brother or Big Brother Canada. And that's what he's there to do. Jordan gets it. He knows the game. He lost his mind for a couple days in the house. I think he's going to be fine when he gets through this experience. I think it's great he got to go be in the jury house. I'm sure that it would have been worse to come out and then have to go through, you know, social media and stuff like that. So he gets to go decompress. But it I wish there was somebody else in the jury house for him to hang out with. It's probably a lonely thing to be going through now, to be sequestered and to be alone, Neha.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, and he's not fully alone. Like, you know, there's people there to help him. But and Wednesday or Thursday he'll get another friend in there. So it might be Cindy, right? You know, hopefully not for me. I hope it's not Cindy, but it might be Cindy for him. And she truly does have feelings for him. So you know what? Maybe they'll be able to bond or something. But yeah, like, I just mean that he's obviously devastated inside, but he came out and he took it like a champ. And being a super fan, you know, you're like, you know, you take what happens, like you respect the game in the sense that, okay, shit, I messed up, but this is Big Brother and that's what happens. Or, you know, this twist came about and it affected me, but you know what? I love this game, it's Big Brother. So you take it. So I think he definitely understood it. And Peter did have some valid points. You know what I mean? As a super fan, you don't do certain things or you know what I mean? So I get it. And I think that Jordan eventually or will understand as well.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be fine. I mean, if you're Peter and you're there to do Peter's job, you can't not kill the person that nominated themselves to go up on the block and gets voted out of the house.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's Peter's job. You know, whether you like what he has to do or not. And I have a feeling that Jordan is not sitting there cursing not Peter.
No way. No way. And because he knows the game so well, and he knows he messed up. And this was like, if there is a time where Peter's going to rant and say something to someone, this is it. Like, this is the optimal opportunity, because this is the biggest F up in, you know, Big Brother history so far, Big Brother Canada history so far.
Yeah. It's more a problem when somebody is just like, you know, was just the pawn and had nothing to do with the reason why they get voted out. And he's like, you know, nothing. That's probably worse. Okay. Yeah, let's take some questions here with Neha. Zachary Klein wants to know, why do people get so excited about making jury? You're still stuck in the house. You're away from your friends and your family. And your only power is getting a vote and deciding who walks away with your $100,000, or in the case of Topaz, you decide the person who you didn't want to win the $100,000.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, and it's funny because a lot of people in the house kept saying, "Oh, I just want to make jury. I just want to make jury." I guess I don't know. I was stuck in sequester for like 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks essentially, and it's all fine and dandy, but it's not so bad to be at home. You know what I mean? Like compared to, I can imagine sitting there for 5 weeks. I essentially think if you don't come in first or second, you lose.
Yeah.
You lost the game. Like,
yeah, I'll tell you what I think the appeal is. It's the experience isn't over. You know, there's a finality where you're out of the house. Whereas like, hey, I'm still on the show. You know, I'm still part of this. Like, you know,
I felt too. Like I said, when I was that definitive moment when I lost that comp and I was like, oh shit, this is over. I'm going home. It's like, it stung a bit. So I can understand the feeling of hope. Okay, great. Like I'm not having to go home, because it definitely, that's the end of it. But at the same time for me, it's like, well, you know what? You're sitting in sequester now for 5 weeks and the game is over for you. Essentially, in a way you've lost the game. You know what I mean? So there's only two winners, or one second place.
Do you think that there will be another returning player this season? I mean, it does seem like it's very early to start the jury. Do you think that they'll do another thing where, say, like 4 or 5 people will go on the jury and they'll put somebody back in the house?
That'd be crazy. I thought about that when she announced it, I was like, oh shit, like that could be a possibility. Because but again, now there's only 5 weeks left, right?
Yeah, you got to get people out of the house at some point. We got to get this down.
I'm thinking, okay, we got to have 2 double evictions. We have another instant eviction. So if they put someone else in, like, you know, that's messing with it, but they're definitely doing something, whether it be the survivor style vote for 3 people or something else is definitely 100% going to happen. I don't know exactly what it would be, but it's a possibility. But at the same time with Big Brother Canada, anything and everything is possible.
Okay. Speaking of anything is possible, there was a twist on the show this week where Bobby and Cindy had to go into the vault and they had an option to push a button. And if they pushed the button, they would get $10,000. It would come out of the winner's money, which you're not for anything, Big Brother Canada. Like, you didn't have to be cheap and take the $10,000. Like, they could have just had $10,000. You didn't have to take it from the. Oh, we already put this money aside. To take the $10,000 and walk away.
Right.
Should either of those two people have taken that money and walked away?
Bobby can take it and he can go. I don't care for Bobby.
Shouldn't he have taken the money and left? Does Bobby have a chance to win this game? Isn't Bobby going to be sitting there in a couple months? Boy, I wish I would have taken that $10,000.
No, I mean, for anyone playing the game, like for me, it's like, I would say to Big Brother here, you know what? You keep the 100 grand. I don't even want it. Just let me play. That's how much I love this game, and I would just give it up. I don't even care about the damn money. So playing the game, it's like that experience. Like, who? I don't think anyone would take it. And I think it's kind of like, it's kind of a disrespect to people who want to play the game to say, okay, I'm just gonna take 10 grand and go. But at the same time, 10 grand is a lot of money for some people. So it depends on who you are and what you need in life and what you're there for, right? For me, again, I said the money's not the issue because I love the game so much, I'd rather play. But for someone who wants or needs $10,000, it could be an option. I guess for both Cindy and Bobby, they would rather play the game, right? Obviously, at this point, like, who knows? There's still 10 people in the house. God knows who's going to win the game. I would have wished Bobby would have just taken it and left the house. But you know what? None of them chose to do that.
Yeah, can I ask you, what's the stipend on Big Brother? Can you tell me what you guys get to stay in the house per week?
I cannot.
Okay. So financially, would it be a big difference or a little difference if let's say if somebody stayed in the house for, you know, 10 weeks, that versus $10,000, would that be a big gap or not that big a gap?
I can't say.
You can't say. Hold your hands that far apart. Yeah. What's second place?
The second place is only 20,000. So I feel like it has to be, you know, pretty close to, you know, third or fourth place is $10,000. Like,
no, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Somebody who knows that information, let me send us a tweet.
Probably out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, I have a question.
Yes, Emily.
Going back to the $10,000. Okay, so let's say Bobby or Cindy did take the $10,000 and walk out. Would that have meant that there would have been no eviction that week?
Yeah, what do you think, Neha? What do you think? Do you think that maybe the conspiracy theory here would have been like, I guess that the house picked who was going to go in there. I was going to say the conspiracy theory would be if production wanted to keep JP around, then if you take Cindy out as a swing vote, but the house picked the people that went into the thing. So you can't really say that production wanted to take a vote away on a week where then it would have defaulted to a tie and Zach would have broken the tie.
Yeah, production. So the way it works with, they won't change it. Like they have a plan. So it's all speculation, right? Like if someone took it, maybe I think they probably would have still done an eviction. And they, you know what I mean? Like it's hard to say what they would have done. I don't think they would change whatever their plan is though. But yeah, it makes sense that if someone took it, then the voting, yeah, I really don't know. I actually can't say that. But the thing is, watching the episode, it was like all the other house guests were like, don't take the money. Don't take the money. But it's like, I would be like, take the money and go. That's one less person you need to compete against. But all these people in the house were like, don't take the money because they're worried about losing 10 grand and then only having 90 grand. But it's like, what are your chances? You have a 1 in 10 chance, then you have a 1 in 9 chance of using $10,000, but that's one less person you're competing against. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. It's an iffy thing, but I was just not in agreement with what the house guests were saying, what their consensus was about the whole situation.
Okay, let's take some more questions. South Newton 1 says, do you think Kevin's strategy of just relaxing and not taking anything too seriously will work out? Neha, Kevin is somebody that we've had a tough time getting a read on outside of the house this season because he seems like, we've talked about him, he seems like a guy who would be great at this game, seems like a charismatic guy, he seems like he's got all the tools, he's a poker player, but that being said, the results have not been fantastic for Kevin so far in the house. What's your quick read on Kevin?
Yeah, you know, Kevin, up until my eviction, was not playing the game. We came to him with that 7-person alliance. And then right after that is when he formed the Bermuda Triangle with JP and Zach, which I don't even know if that was a legit alliance that JP and Zach were going with. I really don't know what Kevin's doing. Kevin was the one person in the house that I said that I cannot read. I had no idea what he was thinking. And I think that he will eventually have to start playing the game. I think he's good, right? You guys know who the HOH is, right? So...
Yes,
it hasn't aired, but it's safe to say.
Okay, well let's drop that so we don't have to worry about spoiler stuff. So here's the buzzer. All right, let's okay. Emily, quick, give us the latest rundown. The HOH is
Pilar,
Peely HOH, and who are the nominees at this time?
Cindy and Godfrey.
All right, Cindy and Godfrey, and are those the target, Zach?
Cindy is the target.
Cindy is the target, Neha.
I know.
What is going on here?
I know, it sucks. I don't know what happened. Cindy came to Peely and, Kevin with, you know, the information that she had about the Chop Shop and whatnot, but they're with Ashley and Zach and they chose Ashley and Zach, so they're going that route. Kevin has this thing with Zach, like he really wants to play with him, so I don't think that's good. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Again, Kevin, it comes back to Kevin. You can't read the kid. Peely's HOH is either Kevin's HOH or Ashley's HOH. So that's what she's doing, what they want, essentially.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question here from Ricardo. Ricardo wants to, do you think that Sarah, Brittany, or Cindy have any shot at winning? SBS, do you think that anybody of those women have a shot here, Neha?
I would hope to God they do, because they're my top three, just because I was aligned with them and I think that they're great people. But in terms of this game, I think Sarah will 100% be the next target when the other side gets the HOH. And I think B has a chance of getting a little further because she can just slide through because she's not a big competitor.
Okay.
So I think, if anything, I think Cindy 100%. If Cindy doesn't win that veto this week, she's gone. And if Cindy wins the veto, Sarah will likely be the replacement nominee. I don't know if she'd stay over Godfrey, but either way, next week or the week after, when the other side gets the HOH, they're going to take Sarah out eventually. But Sarah is very, very smart. Sarah has a lot of information. Cindy has given Sarah a lot of information. So hopefully they can work with that information and somehow get out of that situation.
Neha, what do you take away from Sarah? For the first time, the show, Bruno narrated about all the showmances in the house and described Sarah and Willow as a showmance.
I don't believe it. I don't think they are.
What's going on there?
I actually have no clue. I think Sarah's very, very smart and she's keeping Willow a little close. I know Willow's playing both sides of the house at this point with Sarah and her, but I don't know that it's a, I don't think it's a showmance. I think it's just that they're working together, but they're both kind of using each other. I wouldn't say it's a showmance. No, but then again, like I haven't been in the house, so I don't, things can change and okay. God knows. I really don't know.
Godfrey knows.
Not that one.
Okay. God. The regular God. Okay. The less powerful one.
Yeah.
The less popular one. So, let me ask you about Bruno, because we've brought up Bruno. To me, let me give you my read on the game. You tell me if I'm way off base. I feel like the big winner here right now is Bruno. I feel like he was a guy, he was sort of dead to rights a couple of weeks ago. It looked like the writing was on the wall. He was going to be following Greg out of the house soon. But now I feel like that with all of the distractions in the house, people want to get out Zach, or we have like the diaper people are now feuding with the SBS people. I feel like Bruno is sort of being the forgotten person. And I think potentially could emerge as like the Derek of this season. Do you think that Bruno is maybe the person that the players need to be watching out for the most?
Yeah. So Bruno's in the middle at this point, and that's a good place to be, I think. And I think Bruno knows that he's kind of good with, because he has an alliance kind of with Cindy in a way, like they've talked and whatnot. But I think he just needs to pick what side he's going to go with. And I think he's the one person that's definitely in the middle, because I think the girls kind of do still, SBS like likes him, and I know he's good with Godfrey. And then I think this, I don't know what's happening with the Chop Shop. I think they're now the Chop Shop plus two, and I think they're kind of sticking together still. It's like a freaking 7-8 person alliance at this point. But he's definitely sitting pretty. He's definitely very smart. So I think he can take it, and I think he is one person that will take an attack at Zach, given the right opportunity and given that the lines have already been drawn, like in the sense where if like a line has been drawn where he has to choose and he doesn't choose Zach's side, then he is one that will go against him and his people. But yeah, right now I think Bruno is the one person that's sitting very pretty.
Okay. Zach, what's your read on Bruno?
I think Bruno's actually in a really good spot because the Chop Shop thinks that he, or the Chop Shop plus two, or the new Bomb Squad, whatever you want to call it, you know, an alliance of seven people in a house of 11. They think that he's loyal to them. But earlier today he was on the feeds and he was talking to Bobby, you know, and he was saying to Bobby, you know, we have to keep acting like we're in the Chop Shop. And, you know, they want Zach to think that they're cool with him. But Bruno has said that Zach is still his number one target. So he's definitely playing under the radar. He's definitely kind of faded into the background. He's caught no heat from voting out JP, because the Chop Shop kind of, after Cindy revealed the Chop Shop, the former members of the Chop Shop got so panicked that they kind of all rallied around each other. But Bruno's still in there with them. But he, it's all fake to him. You know, he doesn't want to stick with that alliance. He wants to take Zach out.
Yeah.
Emily, let me ask you a live feed question. How has Zach, not our Zach, how is Zach in the house, Captain Canada? How has he taken the news that his plan backfired and his best friend in the house ultimately went out due to his own actions?
Yeah, like I saw him moping around the house like right after, but like I think it was he said to Bruno, he said, "You actually did me a favor by voting him out because he was like dead weight to me."
Did he mean like, that?
Damn. What the hell? Nah. That's the problem with this.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
No, he did say to Kevin that you know, Kevin and Zach were talking to each other about it, and they kind of came to the conclusion that JP was playing all of them. You know, they feel a little less bad about it. You know, they're like, you know, it sucked that my best friend had to go out of the house like that when I was HOH, but ultimately it ended up being a good thing for their game because, you know, he was going in between Zach and Kevin.
But he's not going to admit that he's the most horrible HOH in the history of Big Brother Canada, right?
Is that true? Worse than Paul?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
For real.
Wow.
Yeah, this week I'm embarrassed to share a name with him.
What's that?
Who took their best friend? Who did Paul take out again?
Kyle?
Wasn't it? No, it wasn't Kyle. It was Nick, right? No,
yeah, okay,
so it was Nick. Yeah, okay, first.
Yeah, okay. No, that's not worse than taking out your best friend. Sorry, it's not.
All right. Neha, you said that you had a story that you wanted to tell us about Survivor.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is kind of cool. So a lot of the times we were asked, when you were in Sylvester, did you guys ever stop playing the game? Like, just because, like, you know, we're not in the house. But for me, it was kind of like we all always had that glimmer of hope that we would get back into the house. And for me, it was kind of like, well, I'm a gamer. And I don't know. At this point, we didn't know if it was like a canvas vote or if it was a comp of some sort or that sort of thing. So while we were in the house, so it was most of the time it was Risha, Cindy, then myself, and then Greg came in. And me and Cindy were like, well, it'd be great for us if Greg and Risha didn't get along very well because they're, you know, because then they would be at each other and that sort of thing. So we were still playing that card. But at the same time, we were also planning. We planned so much. Cindy and I planned so much in that house, given that one of us went back in the house, this is exactly what needs to happen. We took all the information in and we made a solid plan, such as go to Bruno and tell him about the Team Bruno story at SciShow. Go to Sarah. She can be absolutely trusted. Don't go back in a line with JP, that sort of thing. But I personally had a little story. It didn't matter because I didn't make it into the house. But in the house, JP told us so much stuff about Survivor, and I can't wait to tell him this story. But he told us this one thing. I don't follow Survivor that much, but he told us, and you would know, Rob, there was a season where there was this player, and he would collect items from after competitions, he would collect items and he ended up making like an immunity item.
Yes. Fake immunity necklace.
But JP said that it looked legit.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
So, one day in Sequester, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so what have I done in the house? Because I knew that if I went back into the house that I would be a huge target, obviously. So I said, who can I go to? What information do I have? And what did I already put into place that I could use? So prior to leaving the house, I had told Zach, because I was working with him, or I thought I was working with him, that I had found something in the house that potentially could have been a diamond power of veto or something. I didn't say it in those words, but I said, oh, I found something. And he's like, what? Do you have a veto? Do you have a veto? Do you have a veto? And I put it in his head that I possibly have one. But then the way I was evicted, obviously I couldn't use it. It was just instant eviction, whatever, whatever. And I didn't explain it to him. So while I was in Sequester, that story that JP gave me came back to me. And I'm like, well, maybe if I go back in, I can act and say, hey, I have a hidden immunity item that I found. And Zach would believe it because Zach already knew that I found something. So while I was in Sequester, I said, okay, what do I have here that I could use? So of all of my own items, I put together like this diamond power of veto, with like breaking up my necklaces and stuff. And it's epic. Like it just worked out because the way the whole scenario that's going on in the house is very like links and chains and you know, all that kind of stuff. So I had this necklace, and oh, you know what? I can actually show it to you guys.
All right, go get. Wait, why don't you let Johnny come on?
Oh, Johnny, come on?
Yeah, where's Johnny?
Hey, Johnny, come on here. I'm gonna grab it.
Okay, this is. All right, so we have a tag team. Here's Johnny. Johnny, how are you?
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
This is legit for real. She put together the most ridiculous looking diamond power veto ever in true Survivor style.
Thank you, JP. But
hold on, hold it higher. Hold it higher so we can see it. Wow. Oh, okay, that's pretty good.
Diamond, and then the chain link is kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it would work. I would have showed him a little bit of it, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Johnny, what do you, that Neha just keeps you at her house?
I decided to stay for a week after just so I could hang out with all of the Big Brother folks from here in Toronto. Best decision ever. I'm so glad I got to meet them.
Why, who have you seen?
Meeting them for the first time when I go to finale. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, and being out of the house has been super devastating, but super crazy all at the same time.
Who did you see? Did you see Donnie Thompson?
I saw Donnie. I got to hang out with Donnie. That guy is crazy. He is not what he's kind of like what he is from In the House, but he's a whole different character on his own. So cool to actually see the real Donnie and not the one you see on TV.
Is it true that Donnie came up to Canada to celebrate 420 with Sarah? Is that true, Johnny?
I have no idea. It's quite possible. Who knows?
That's what I heard. And then how's the cat Vito doing? Or your dog Vito?
Dog Vito. I haven't gotten to see him yet. So Vito is apparently doing really well. He needs a major haircut from what I can see on the pictures. But I'm going back home on Sunday. So when I get home, that little dog is going to get a little haircut, and maybe I'm going to go buy him a little new collar or something with the Canadian Power Vito on it or something.
Johnny, do you have hard feelings towards Kevy Wevy for turning his back against you after you were so good to him?
You know what? I don't have any hard feelings towards my Kevy Wevy. I love the guy to death. At the end of the day, he's playing a game. He couldn't stick his neck out during the Power Veto competition because it would have just exposed him to the rest of the house. I understand that. I understand that you can't do that, especially when you have the rest of the weeks to consider moving forward. At the end of the day, I don't think Kev was really my downfall, so to speak. I think Zach and JP were really more of my downfall that week than Kev was. But he certainly played a part in it.
So you were happy that Godfrey stayed in the house?
Absolutely happy that Godfrey stayed in the house. I think that someone who offers himself up as a pawn being a super fan is making a terrible, terrible move. I love JP to pieces. I love the fact that he's a super fan, and we have that in common. But that move is the stupidest move he ever made. He'll regret it forever. But, I mean, this is good. Zach is now going to melt down and hopefully, be on the way out the door soon.
Who knows more about Big Brother, you or Jordan?
Oh, Jordan hands down knows more than me. I thought I was a super fan. This dude knows absolutely everything. First names, last names, orders of people going out. Like, it's insane.
Who do you think would win in Big Brother trivia? That people have been saying that we need to do a rematch of Big Brother Jeopardy of Ian Terry versus JP when he gets out of the jury house. Who would you put your money on?
Oh, that would be a really tough one. You guys need to do this because it would be good. I think only by a slight edge would Ian win.
Okay, Ian. Okay. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Emily, who you got?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe JP because I've heard what he says and he is pretty,
I think he's studying it more than Ian is. I think Ian might be rusty.
Yeah, he's more current.
I think he might be rusty. I think that Jordan knows the Big Brother Canada stuff backwards and forwards, and I don't know if Ian is going to have that at really top of mind. So we'll see. Okay. So Johnny, when are you heading back home?
I'm heading back home Sunday morning. That's when I'll get reunited with Vito, and there's so many people back home in Winnipeg. I'm the first Winnipegger, first Manitoban to make Big Brother Canada, so there's a lot of people waiting for me, and I can't wait to go back and see everyone.
Okay, who's your pick to win?
My pick to win? Ooh, that's a good one.
Not who you're rooting for. Who's going to win?
If Zach can somehow get himself out of the mess he's in, he hands down deserves to win, for sure. I mean, Bruno is also playing a really great game. Do I think he deserves to win? No. And I mean, something in deep down in my little heart wants to say that I'd love to see Kev win too. So who knows?
We'll see. We
love Sarah, but I think she's got a lot going against her. And she's going to have a struggle to get there.
Do you hate Pilar for stealing Kevin away?
I don't hate Pilar at all. I'm not jealous of her at the end of the day.
Sorry, Emily hates Pilar.
Emily, you hate Pilar?
Because she's boring.
I'm not a fan of her.
Well, I mean, she's one of those girls that hasn't done a whole lot in the game thus far. She's super sweet, though. You know, who knows? Maybe she'll step up her game in the coming weeks. We'll see. But who knows?
Okay. All right. Johnny, thank you for coming on. I want to start to wrap this up. So let me say goodbye to Neha as well.
Bye, guys.
Okay. Great job. That Johnny was so excited.
I know. He's awesome.
Great energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, Neha, we got to start to wrap this up. Do you have any parting thoughts you want to get out there about this Big Brother season?
Oh, it's such a crazy season. I wish I was in the house, but it is what it is. I think people are now really, really starting to play. The whole no blood on my hands thing has to come to an end, even though I've been hearing that on the feed still. And I think it's really going to start going down. I really, really hope that Sarah, Cindy, and B can somehow pull it together and get to the end, because I just hope it's not one of those things where it's like Zach's side just takes them out and then it's just going to be a boring season. You know what I mean? So, but you know, it's Big Brother. Anything can happen. They're going to have a lot of twists where I definitely see a couple of double evictions coming out. I hope there's another instant, and I hope Bobby gets the instant eviction. Just because he laughed at me when I was having mine.
Yes, he did. He did.
You know what? God knows what's going to happen with the season, but either way, it's going to be epic.
Were you happy when Bobby got waxed?
No, I didn't really get to be a part of that, but
I mean, watching it, were you happy that he was in pain?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe there'll be more waxing in store. All right. Real quick, Emily, before we go, anything else from the live feeds we need to know?
They all think there's a double eviction next week. So they're all like studying up on their days. And Zach's like, I have every day memorized. I'm going to win this HOH. Sarah's the same. She's like, I have to win HOH because she's probably going to go up if Cindy gets evicted, if she doesn't win POV. Trying to think if there's anything else. Willow and Sarah have been getting close.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Neha.
Interesting to me.
It's happening.
Because me and Sarah from the day one, we're like, we got to watch out for Willow. We can't trust her.
She's watching her. She's keeping her close.
He's keeping her close. And I think they're both kind of playing each other because Willow's still going to scratch up.
Yeah.
So,
okay. We'll see. All right, Zach, anything else that we need to know from the live feeds?
Bobby has been telling people that he got a secret POV when he was in the vault.
Yeah, Neha made it.
Yeah, I mean,
well, she took it. But, I mean, the story, I mean, I've been getting bits and pieces that sometimes he says that he got it when Sydney was in the DR, or he said that he found keys to a safe deposit box while she was sleeping. But, you know, he says he's got a secret power veto. Nobody really believes him, but at the same time, like, everyone's kind of worried that he might have it. Like, when Sydney was pushing really hard with Peely to nominate Bobby and Willow, you know, she was trying to flush out that secret power veto if he really had it. Like, fine, put him up on the block, and if he has the secret veto, then he'll take himself off. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what comes of that fake secret power veto, if anything.
Okay. All right. Well, Neha, thank you so much for coming on. Neha, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Neha S BBCan 3. So it's NAEHAS BBCan 3.
Do you have as much to say on Twitter as you do when we talk to you in person?
Always.
Okay.
I can talk about anything and everything, and I definitely will be keeping up with this season, of course. So yeah, I'll be all up on Twitter.
Okay. I'll give out a hashtag for this episode of the podcast. How about Neha the Playa instead of Neha the Slayer? What do you think of that?
All right, that's all right. It's okay, good.
She's a playa. All right, so here we go. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Emily. Welcome aboard, Zach. Look forward to chatting with you guys both again soon. We will have more Big Brother Canada coverage coming to you guys on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and then much more. I've got a couple of other Survivor podcasts that I'm working on for next week. We'll do Spice In. Of course, we've got the Amazing Race coverage coming up tonight at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Got to start watching the Amazing Race. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, for the great work producing the show. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Bye.